My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to a new episode of Pixels and Polygons. This is the third time I'm recording this, I think. My intention was to release episode on Friday, but then it lined up to be my wife and I's anniversary. It's our 15-year wedding anniversary, and we've been together for 21 years, dating and everything. So I was going to have her as a guest, and we're going to record an episode, and it was going to have just conversations about memories that we have related to gaming and things like that, that have kind of sprinkled up throughout our relationship. Not everything's gaming related with us, but there was some worthwhile stories to share, through our history. So we sat down and recorded an almost an hour long episode and did that. It was great. It was a great conversation. It ran really long because it was just fun to kind of chat and connect with her about that. And in the recording process, I had tried to like add some denoiser to her end of the audio just to help with the editing. And I did something that ultimately caused her entire audio track to not be recorded. So it was all I have is a one-sided conversation and no way to salvage that. And there was no way I was going to re-record the episode because for one, it just wouldn't sound genuine. So what I had just finished doing after breaking the bad news to my wife was saying, hey, let's at least answer a couple of questions so I can make some type of salvaged episode and go from there. As it turns out, we just got done recording another 45 minutes plus. We were able to, you know, as it turns out, we're pretty compatible and we can talk about things. And, you know, I think we might make it. So we managed to make a full episode again. So we spent a lot of time recording today. I spent a lot of highs and lows thinking I've wasted my afternoon or not, or ruined the episode or not. But at the end of the day, we have a completed episode. It's a full-length episode. It's a fun episode. And I get to spend it with my wife and my best friend who we've been with, and we were able to celebrate our anniversary together by doing this episode. So hopefully you enjoy it and have some fun with it. We did twice, and we're not going to do it a third time. So if this doesn't come out, you're just not getting an episode this week. But if you're hearing this, it must mean that it worked. So thank you. Other business as usual. Show notes, you can find links and details to a bunch of stuff that I'm doing, pixelsandpolygons.net, where you can buy books directly from me. I've got my Black Friday sale that just started, so you can get 25% off all of the books. So basically, if you buy all four volumes of 30th 2-Bit Library, if you've been thinking about it, you are essentially getting a free book. What else? I think the math's on that, right? Yeah, 25% off, four, yeah. I have like stickers and pins and other things available on that site too. You also can go to Patreon. I have free articles and free writing and things you can follow along with that I'm doing, sharing project updates for the other books I'm working on, as well as the postcard of the month. That is a paid tier you can join. It's $5 a month, and I will send you a postcard with a giant screenshot, and on the backside is a review. So it's basically the shortest periodical, the shortest video game magazine in existence. Some kind of Guinness World Record or some kind of prize should show up to my doorstep anytime soon. But that is going to be sent out for the first month here in the next couple of days. So I plan to do that by the end of the month. So if you want to check that out and get on board before I mail those out, you still have a little bit of time if you're hearing this on launch day. Otherwise, yeah, anything else is just in the show notes, all the typical stuff. Follow me on social media, kind of see the websites, see the things that I'm doing. Enjoy it, have fun, and we will see you again next week with a standard episode and no drama. Bye. Okay. So this is not going to be take two. This is going to be a truncated version of what we just recorded because we're not going to be able to redo all that. But yeah, we typically, you know, ask, I guess we already answered what we're currently playing. What is the...
What do you mean we answered what we were currently playing?
Well, in the last episode that is now lost to time, we answered what we were... We just talked about what we were currently playing. You were playing Outlanders 2.
Oh, but they don't know that.
Yes, they do. I've already broken the news that we lost the episode.
Oh, okay.
That is at the at the top of the episode, they got the bad news that we've lost the episode. So, yeah, recording this a little bit differently, just using my phone just to capture a little bit of audio to at least have some type of episode out there. But yeah, so if we're not going to answer what we're currently playing, what is there a game that you're looking forward to that's coming out soon? Or are
yes.
you? Oh, what's that then? I didn't think you would have an answer to that. Okay.
That Lord of the Rings game, the Shire or whatever it's called.
Mm-mm, I don't remember.
It's gonna be on the Switch. I'm so excited for it.
It was like
I'm so excited. I don't even know what the name of it is, but it's Lord of the Rings, so I'm gonna play it.
Was it like that? Not like Harvest Moon, but it was like more yeah. like a casual life.
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I kept looking. I thought it was gonna be out this year. And because I feel like I've been hearing about it for a long time now, and every time I go onto their website, it doesn't say anything. It doesn't say like the due date, the release date, or anything like that until recently. And it said like, I don't know, not even January, like a little bit later. I'm so sad, but that is what I'm looking forward to.
Okay. There's a game that a lot of people are playing now on PC that just looks really, really cool. And just everything I've read about it and seen on it, I'm very excited about it. So it's technically already out on PC, but it's called UFO 50. But I want there to be a console release of it or a PlayStation version of it so that I can play it myself. But it's like there's like in-game lore to it, but it's like a make-believe company from like the 80s, and this is like an anniversary collection of like 50 games of theirs from their fake company's past and history. So it's like old school like arcade shoot 'em ups and like early console platformers and just like various genres that are covered in 50 different games. Like there's legitimately like 50 full games in it. Like some of them are not as like crazy and in depth and all that stuff, but some are full on like RPGs and stuff like that from what I've read about it and heard.
Wait, so these are new games?
Yes.
But it's made like an anniversary collection?
Yes.
So it's a fake game?
Yes. Real games that are fakely presented as nostalgic retro games re-released in a fake compilation package. But that's the game. And like you, I think there's more to it, obviously. Like as you're playing more of the games, there's like a story to like, you know, where the company went and like some of like the game's details and things like that. But it's all like in-game presented in this cool way of like this fake anniversary package and stuff. But yeah, there's like some really cool different game types in there. And it's a bunch of like indie game developers. It was, I guess, it was maybe, I don't know if there was a single primary driver to it, but the guy who did Spelunky and that, I think his name is Derek Yu, he was kind of the brain a little bit behind it from what I'm understanding. Mm-hmm. And there's other like indie developers who have made their own like recent, you know, in the last decade plus of like indie game, like mainstream kind of popularity and everything. But some of those folks kind of came together to help kind of make these games to help put it all together in the package and stuff. But it just seems really cool. I just don't have the ability to play it yet. And I just want to, you know.
So it's not been announced that it's going to be on console. You're just hoping at some point that it does?
Yeah, their website, their official website does say out now PC console TBD. So, like, very likely will be, I mean, they'd be crazy not to do a Switch release. Maybe if they're hoping the Switch 2 is, like, backwards compatible, they'll, like, have it just kind of launch simultaneously, and it makes sense for it to be on that. But I hope, I'm just hoping there's a PlayStation release. I mean, obviously there's, I feel like there's enough install base and, you know, monetary reasons to do it, but as indie developers and all that stuff, they don't necessarily have all the money in the world to invest resources into releasing all these platforms. So, but from what I hear and what I've read and everything, it's been very successful. So it's like, you know, likely that this console port is happening. I just hope it's sooner than later.
But
that's what I'm looking forward to.
Interesting.
Icebreaker question then. We'll try and keep the format going. As like I said,
no, I want to ask you an icebreaker question.
Okay.
Just because I recently listened to this episode and I was actually like kind of excited or like thinking like, oh, I want to ask Darren that. But I could just ask you now. What is your like format of your customized character? Like what's your go-to?
Oh, from like a created character?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was yeah, that's like a main topic, not necessarily an icebreaker question.
Oh, I thought it was
an icebreaker.
No,
that's fine. I always make my... I shared a little bit, I think, when I asked the question to...
Brian.
Was with Brian. Yeah, but I think I asked Andrew on a previous episode as well, and I shared a little bit then, too. But, yeah, I always go with Ruti as my character name. It's always a female character.
Where did that name come from?
And that, yeah, I think I did explain that in the episode, too. So maybe there's another one you can listen to then that talks
I'm
a little more.
I'm pretty sure I've listened to all of them.
Okay. Well, I did. Yeah, it comes from Tales of Destiny. I loved that game as a kid. That was one of those post Final Fantasy VII RPGs for me. So like my mind was blown with, you know, what RPGs really were. And Final Fantasy VII was like my first big exposure to it. And then, so after that, like anything that looked or walked or smelled like an RPG, like I was giving it a try, but I loved Tales of Destiny. It had a cool battle system and cool art style. And yeah, one of the in-game characters was just like this kind of no fuss. She wasn't really a thief necessarily, but she was, you know, she could have like a, she just had a kind of a no fuss personality or whatever. And she had like a primary color was red. And so I was often try and choose red as like my primary color of choice. But I don't know why. I mean, it wasn't like she was like the greatest and coolest created like video game character ever, but I did think she was cool. And yeah, when I couldn't create a female character, I will, just because trying to like emulate or create her, like, or like, you know, that, you know, next version of her type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I prefer the female characters over male characters and everything. And then there's also reasons for that. I've heard that people are like, oh yeah, because if you're going to stare at them, like, you know, you may as well have it be like a female. And it's, I'm not doing that from like that.
That's so gross.
That, yeah. That cheesecakey kind of like gross guy way of doing it. I just think it's like, in my mind, it's probably the option that's picked less. And so I just like the idea of it being.
Oh, it's the feminist in you.
Well, I don't know, maybe, like, I just like the idea of it, like, it was even during, like, Mass Effect times, like, they released some data on, like the percentage of players who played as, like, the female Commander Shepard, and it's, like, sub 20% or something like that, which is, like, crazy to me, but, like, you know, people put in time and effort and energy to do this, you know, to have the option to have, like, have people and have players have the option, and so picking the less popular option, I think, to me, just kind of helps, like, drive and justify, like, that it exists and is continuing to be an option in the future. You know, I think just like I like indie comic books or independent, like, smaller time creators and YouTube channels. Like, I like the idea that it's, like, it's helping use it or participate in it or, like, pick it. Will help justify somebody else being able to choose or do that or have access to it again in the future or being able to continue to do it type of thing. Yeah. I think it's just this weird like DIY mindset type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's really, yeah, thinking about it like that, it's just kind of like a way to really like put your stamp on the game, you know, and like even though you didn't create the storyline, you didn't create the game and all those things, but you were able to like make the main character your own.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Yeah. The only time I don't use Ruti is actually in Mass Effect. I made Nicole. So I use the character creator because it was like a really like robust creative character type of thing. So I was trying to make it look like you. It ended up not looking like you really at all. And then like you could kind of modify it a little bit in 2 because the character, you know, she's almost killed and she's rebuilt and reconstructed. And then 3 lets you even kind of tweak it a little bit with some more options and all that stuff. But still, no matter what, I don't think it ultimately ever really ended up looking like you, even though I tried to spend like definitely more time than it probably was worth trying to make it look like you to never really see it or have it work out. But it's always Commander Nicole of the Normandy.
That's kind of funny because thinking of, we were watching the other night, Conan, where he was,
oh, that Death Stranding.
Yeah, where he goes in there and he's like getting scanned by all those cameras and he's like trying to find where his character is in the game. That's kind of cool. Like if that was something that you can do, like, you know, with the technology of like phones nowadays, like, you know, oh, let's, you know, use your phone's camera to take a like, you know, photo of you or a 360 like video of you, upload it to your system, and then it like generates your character, like your face on the character. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, they actually do that. I think there was an NBA there's an NBA 2K game that did that where you could take your photo and upload it, and then it would like map it to the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, I want to say there was even ability to do that in like one of the Tony Hawk Underground, or maybe not Underground, maybe it was later, but I think connected in digital camera, you could also map a face to your character.
Oh.
I'll have to look it up, or internet, like anybody who's listening who might know, yeah, what games can you actually import and map your face or head?
Okay, but those games are a little bit older, right?
Yeah, there were, the 2K ones. I wonder if they still do it, but it wasn't that long ago that that was a thing, like within the last 10 years for sure. But the Tony Hawk one was older. Yeah. So that was definitely, I think, ahead of its time.
Yeah. But I'm saying like with now and like today's technology, like, you know, the cameras are just, you know, so much more advanced.
Yeah. It would be cool to just be able to map your character or map your face and everything into the game that easy. That way it would save you time and create a character stuff too, because then you don't have to tweak all those things. I was playing that Monster Hunter Wilds beta, and in the character creator, like once you're done confirming all of your settings and everything, or not confirming, but once you're done creating everything, it then takes you to a screen where you can confirm all the details. And it's like, it's just top to bottom, like 4 or 5 columns of data with all the different like X, Y, and Z axis for like, you know, the eyelids, eyebrows, nose, jaw, cheeks, like all this stuff, all the hair color choices, the accessory choices, the length, size, cut, style, like all those things. But there's 4 pages of that that you can go through. So I was like thinking about like how if somebody really spent some time, you probably could really make some like crazy accurate potentially, or just crazy uniquely like strange things that the developers weren't intending because of how many options are in that game. But that would take a lot of time to bypass all of that and just scan your face or head in would be, you know, kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of like kind of cool to just like, okay, you know, a celebrity, I want to try and make this character look as much like this celebrity and see how long, like time yourself, see how long that actually takes.
Yeah. Well, if you had this idea of scanning the technology, you could have one of those just high and like Hot Toys action figures, or like a large like resin statue of like, you know, a celebrity of a character or whatever, and then just scan that and have that be done automatically for you.
Okay, but here's, oh my gosh, what if this happens? What if you spend so much time making a character and you're like, you're so excited for this game, you've been waiting for it, you make this created character, it's 4 pages long like you're saying, and you start playing the game and it sucks. What do you do?
You find the good in it, you know. It's a glass half full, like there's got to be some redeeming entertainment value in it, you know, or, yeah, that's it. You give up. You only play if you're having fun.
But. That would suck if you spent, like, hours and hours, and then it just ends up being this total bomb. I would be so mad.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, the main topic, again, the lost episode that we'll never hear because it was lost to technology. It is Nicole and I's anniversary today. I think I share that in the at the head of the episode or top of the episode. I usually record that after I record the episode, but I recorded it after I discovered that the episode was lost. So this is actually recorded last.
Tears.
But it's our anniversary. We've been married for 15 years and we've been together and, you know, dating for 21 years. And so we had shared just some memories of how gaming is tied into our relationship. I mentioned it, I think, already too, but we're not like, I am like the hardcore, like, gaming person. Like, my entertainment and hobbies and, like, you know, life choices heavily involve video games and just the game world and game industry. But it is not the same for Nicole. We're not just like that gaming couple who is just like constantly doing and sharing and absorbing all the same things. Mm-hmm. But we have still had some overlapping important, like, moments in our relationship that we had shared that, you know, we're tied to gaming. So we kind of shared some stories about that. But I guess not wanting to rehash that entire conversation. what were you surprised by in our conversation? What's a gaming memory then, or gaming, like, moment in our relationship that I think was meaningful or special to you then, Nicole?
Yeah. One of the things that I was actually thinking about afterwards, after we, like, stopped recording, I was thinking about, like, how Final Fantasy has, like, you introducing me to, like, the series, the game. You know, I played Final Fantasy IV, played it all the way through, and, like, loved it. And I like, fell in love with, like, the box art. Like, from the moment I saw it, I fell in love with it. It was, like, love at first sight. And it was, like, when Final Fantasy XI came out, you know, and it was just, like, the same, you know. Love the artwork. Love everything about it. And then I just had, like, it turned into this, like, whole, like, love for Yoshitaka Amano's, like, artwork and art style and everything, you know. So much to where, like, I got an actual, like, full sleeve of their artwork. So I was just kind of thinking about that. Like, I would have never gotten this hadn't I been exposed to these games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a full... It's not just gaming, I guess, because you have Vampire Hunter D artwork of his on you, too. But, yeah, a full sleeve and then onto your chest of that cool Amano artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that came from Final Fantasy. We had shared the story in the last episode, but the Final Fantasy XI was a significant point. We charted it and we figured it out through some digging up of, like, dates and research, but... it was a gift for me, the PS2 edition of Final Fantasy XI Online, in August of 2004. Like, that's when I got it. It was released earlier that year. I think it was actually released in March, but we didn't get it until we had moved in together and, you know, sort of a birthday gift. But 2004, and we essentially played it all the way up to 2010, pretty consistently. There wasn't really any breaks or anything there, because it was a monthly subscription game and, you know, we were paying for it. So mm-hmm. We just kind of had to play it. But, yeah, we played it for essentially 6 years of our lives, just like kind of like bounce around that. So it started out just on the PS2. And then, we didn't have a second PS2, but we had, I think, a PC involved. And then it was released on the Xbox 360. And then we had a backwards compatible PS3 that you could install that to and still play, you know, backwards compatible style on the PS3. So we always had multiple consoles available to us and kind of kept going with technology to give up the old stuff and kind of keep playing with the new stuff as it was going through its systems and cross-platform availability and everything. But yeah, we just spent a lot of time like playing that game, and it was weird because you're like me and you gaming together, like before that, you know, like some GameCube games, some Game Boy Advance games, mm-hmm. Harvest Moon and stuff. Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy was like that silly platforming game that you liked.
It was so fun. Actually, like, where did I see that? I think I saw it on on the Switch. You know, you can go into the little store.
Oh, just digitally available or something?
Yeah. I think I saw it there recently and was like, I kind of want to download this.
Yeah. Well, that was your, you know, those were your gaming experiences at that point. And then you see me play Final Fantasy XI. You were like, oh, well, maybe I kind of want to try this myself. So you just went hardcore from like character platformers and mascot platformers and Harvest Moon and Game Boy Advance games to Final Fantasy XI. Maybe by that time you had already played Final Fantasy IV Advance, I guess. Would that have been out by then? Because I know that was getting close to like the DS release, so it wouldn't have been long after that you would have played Final Fantasy IV. So, yeah, but either way, you didn't have a huge foothold into just RPGs, let alone like massive multiplayer RPGs. Yeah. So it was definitely like an odd, large jump into the deep end that, you know, worked out, that you obviously were entertained by and stuck with it for years.
Yeah. Oh, one of the interesting things that, like, thinking about Final Fantasy XI is, like, communicating with other people, like, other, like, real people, you know? You sometimes, well, a lot of times, you know, I would be playing, like, it's like 2 a.m. and all the people that I'm playing with are like in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like being able to communicate, we would communicate using like all the like auto translate, like pre-made, like little, I don't know, words or whatever, you know, and phrases. And so that was always interesting, or even just down to like how to play the game or like what spells to use and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool just being able to like play with people, other people, real people.
Yeah, that was kind of revolutionary at the time. Well, I mean, there wasn't a lot of online games where you could text communicate, especially on consoles, but like the history of that, like you had EverQuest and you had things like that available to people on PC, and those were just Americans playing in American servers or Europeans playing in European servers, or if there was even popular enough, you know, Japanese players playing by themselves in Japanese servers. You wouldn't, even if you could choose the other servers, you weren't able to necessarily communicate unless you knew their language and could connect with them that way. But yeah, that auto translate, like you'd start to type an item, a job, a skill, like any in-game like object, and then if you press tab, it would give you like the list of like, you know, what that was to like put it into the, you know, readable to like auto translate into Japanese or whatever other player is going to see on their like set language, and then, you know, questions or asks or needs or whatever it may be. But, you know, teleport, do you have it? I'm interested.
Yeah.
Like it would just be like things like that. And then they would be able to read that on their screen, like in all Japanese, and just fully understanding what it was that you needed. So that's kind of a pretty big gaming milestone to be able to have that level of international community and international like communication and everything. So that is kind of cool. And you were, yeah, directly on the front lines of that technological revolution.
Yeah. One, it's so funny that you bring up a request, because I worked with the lady who was like the model of that like main character. It was modeled after her.
Of who?
Her likeness, Denise.
Who modeled after what? Like what?
The EverQuest. like the character.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the female character that's like on the box art.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's modeled after her.
Hmm.
Yeah, she showed me pictures and stuff.
I'm going to have to Google this. The work of this person currently?
No, at my previous job.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. yeah, I'll have to Google this and look this up. That's interesting. EverQuest was where I had, that was right before meeting you in high school. I had a little friend circle that was on the other side of town, near where I lived and everything. But they were into EverQuest and everything. And when I'd hang out with them, and you know, they'd be playing all that stuff. Like, I just did not have a PC or anything that was good enough to run it or play it. But like, the idea of being able to be online and having to fight things together, and you know, just that MMO experience. I was like, man, I really want, like, just super jealous and envious of like wanting to play that and everything. So when I finally was able to do it with, like, when I saw Final Fantasy XI was coming and was going to be on PS2 and everything, like, I knew that I wanted to do that for sure. So, otherwise, yeah, what else do we have? We asked us, but I guess.
Wait, so you said you had this friend circle for EverQuest. Were they like, did I know these people?
No. No, this is pre you, I said.
I know, but like, you knew people who I met afterwards.
Yeah, you never met these people.
Oh. Where'd you meet them?
I just met them through friends of friends and everything. I've told you these stories, and it has a, not for me, but it had a really dark ending for one of those kids. And so I like opted out at the right time because they were exposed to things in life that took them down a different path. And
crazy.
Yeah.
Is that would you go to like those PC computer cafes to play those games?
No, but I bet you could. Yeah, that makes sense. No, I would go to those places later on with, like with Danny and Randy and, like, you know, friends I met afterwards, and then going back to like our high school and everything, mm-hmm. and junior high, and we would play like Counter-Strike and things like that there. But yeah, EverQuest. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if people played those. I mean, there people would play like StarCraft and Counter-Strike and a lot of the popular games of the era, but I think EverQuest maybe was already kind of declining a little bit by that point, and other things were moving into that space. And then it wasn't long later that, World of Warcraft launched, you know, like not even a year after that, or within that same kind of time frame too, I think. So then that ultimately became the thing to chase and everything for people playing online games. Yeah.
Interesting. There was that one game that, I don't know, Diablo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one that we played.
Did we play that? We played that together, right?
Yes, we played Diablo...
With Danny?
3. We tried to play some Diablo 3, yeah. Yeah. And that eventually was be released on, like, PS4, and would be available to play like through that way too as well.
Yeah, but so that was like after Final Fantasy XI, and I was really hoping that would like scratch the itch. But that gameplay style and everything, and just like the whole look of it, I just did not like, and I did not enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I like a game that has a like a progressively growing loop and things like that. Like that, you know, it does what it does really well. 'Cause you know, obviously it's successful enough to spawn multiple sequels and addict multiple, you know, millions of people to kind of keep playing and everything. But, yeah, it wouldn't necessarily replace that same, I think it's like Diablo's more of like a shorter loop. Like you're playing more for your specific character, not necessarily the world. Mm-hmm. And then as you play more and more, yes, you're getting like skills and spells and things that are like rarer and make your character even stronger, but you're playing just for your character. Whereas Final Fantasy XI, you'd be playing in the world and with other players like persistently, because you can kind of come and go into other people's games in Diablo, because the primary driver was just your character's current like stats and build and everything like that. All it wouldn't matter where you're at in the story or anything, because you could even go through and replay the story over and over and over again, like multiple times through, just in harder difficulties through like the different acts and stuff. But yeah, it's just designed in a different way, not necessarily a massive multiplayer online game, but mm-hmm. more of a character and a, you know, a cooperative online role-playing game.
Yeah. I enjoy playing games with you. I wish there were more games that I was like into that I could play with you, because I don't know, I just, you know, of course, obviously like spending time with you. But I think it would be cool, because I think the last game that we like actually like played together was Monster Hunter, right?
Yeah, you played that for a little bit.
Yeah. We played together, right? Didn't we?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I spent hundreds of hours in that game. So, like, I did try and convince you to play a little bit and try it out, but I don't know that... I mean, you did not get, like, as, you know, high-ranked and, you know, as sucked into it necessarily or anything, but we did play that a little bit.
I wish I would have gotten more... I don't know why I stopped playing it or what the reason was, because I remember enjoying it. I mean, it was very similar to like Final Fantasy XI for me, as like, you know, you have like those quests and, you know, you're a character and you know, out there and like fighting these monsters in this open world. And then just being able to also like work together was really fun. I don't know why I stopped playing it.
Yeah, well, there's a new one coming next year, so.
Well, we can play it together then.
Yeah. The other story I think it's worth resharing then for our special anniversary episode was the Super Mario story, just because it's funny. But the first time, I mean, we were hanging out and all that stuff, and we weren't dating yet, were we? We wouldn't have.
No.
Yeah, I think that's just the moment that sparked the idea that we would be dating, essentially.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously I liked you. I was in high school, quiet kid, you know, got put into a class that you were also in. You're, you know, intimidating because you're loud and, you know, you're not really that same type of person anymore, which is just interesting. But you were very loud then.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You would just talk loud. You would, you know, want to be the center of attention. And you're not like that at all.
I don't know. I've never really thought about that.
I think I have grown more into being that person.
Yes.
And I was not at all like that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
We've just switched personalities.
I regressed.
Well, it's not regressing. It's just changing. There's not. I wasn't. It's not bad to be quieter or more.
I know.
But yeah, we were because of that class. I don't know why you wanted to hang out with me, but we had kind of like met and talked and chatted and stuff, and then exchanged like phone numbers, and so we would just kind of like talk on the phone every now and then. And eventually we hung out for like a birthday and went and saw a movie with some friends, Blue Crush, which you were the only one who wanted to see that. And so because you wanted to, I voted to see it. And because it was my birthday, you know, essentially we had to do what I was saying, what to do. So Danny and Randy for sure did not want to be seeing that movie nor doing that, but they were along for the ride. But yeah, eventually I started to drop out of high school, and I was no longer in standard high school, but I still wanted to find an excuse and a reason to be able to hang out with you. So I took like weird extracurricular classes, ROP classes in California. They're for what, college credit or just life skills?
Yeah, I think it's called regional occupational
something.
Program?
Yeah, something. I don't know. But definitely it was for adults to obviously gain skill for potential career things, But I think students could take those classes for college credits. Doug's working. But yeah, we took I took a class in the morning that was at the same high school that I dropped out of to still come out in the morning and hang out before school. And then we had a photography class on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the evening. But post-school, late into the night, or not late into the night, but, you know, end around 6-ish or 7-ish or whatever. And by the time we'd all be back at home, so it was a little bit later. But, yeah, one night you came, like, when I was dropped off, you would normally be dropped off after, and then AJ and Danny would go home.
Mm-hmm.
You volunteered to, like, oh, you know what, I'll just hang out a little bit later. And I remember everyone just kind of being, like, what? This doesn't make sense. Even like Danny and AJ were like, okay, well then how are you going to get back home or whatever? Cause you know, you didn't have your own car or anything. So it was all like, whatever. But I was like, whatever, we'll figure it out. I figured like, yeah, I'd ask my mom or, you know, something like that.
Well, I mean, if it came down to it, we were very familiar with the bus system.
Yeah. But it was late and I wouldn't want you to take the bus.
Yeah. So. You probably would have gone with me.
Yeah, so and then I would have had to have taken a late night bus alone.
Yeah, you would have done it.
Yes. But yeah, so this odd night, you decided to stick around after school on a school night in the evening with no definitive plans on how you're going to get out of there. So I was just had no idea what or what was on your mind or why you were thinking about doing this. I don't know if you really knew what your intentions were.
I don't. I honestly... I don't know.
Yeah, but we went in and just as you know, bored and not sure what to do and how to host a girl in my house, turn on the Super Nintendo that I had recently acquired. I don't even know where we got it from. Turn on, start playing some Super Mario World, and the Super Mario World just involved like just some like banter and like, you know, I think it was like some fake. You weren't good at it type of like oh no, darn. And so then I had to like sit next to you to kind of help you type of thing. And then that turned into like just a little bit of like tickling and awkwardness. And then I realized in my brain that you like, this was a moment where I should do like the teenage thing and kiss you. And I realized that maybe far too late. I think you were giving me all the signs and you were just like over it. Like, dude, like nerd kid, like get with the picture. This is why we're here. What are you doing? And,
oh my gosh.
And I think me in my head, I think was thinking through all of those same like thoughts of like, oh my gosh, wait, this is probably what we should have been doing this whole time. What would I be doing?
And you used to have the sweatiest hands. You would get so nervous. And you could literally see like a little glimmer.
Well, yeah. This is an extra hand sweaty moment. But yeah, ultimately, felt like forever in my brain of like talking it through and deciding like, wait a minute. So what is happening here? Wait a minute. Is this what she's probably wanting here to do as well? Like, oh no, what do I actually have to do with it next? And how does this happen? And it was just like a really like, you know, cheesy movie moment. It seemed, you know, but that's when I kissed you and that would have been the first time that that's the first time I kissed a girl, period.
Yeah.
That was then. And so I just remember in the background was just the pause Super Mario World from playing that old stuff. And that's like, to me, like a core, like memory of ours. Obviously it's a very significant memory, but, video games related, you know, to it and all that stuff. It's always there in the background and everything. So
yeah.
Not long after that. I mean, I guess we were dating.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that
and
was,
here we are.
Yeah. Well, we do have a little window there where we had a little break, pause there and stuff, and I demanded you give me my Super Nintendo back. It was the most, like, I didn't know what I could do just to get back at you and get under your skin or do something to piss you off or do stuff like that, but I just remember being so, like, just disappointed and mad and frustrated and just whatever, because you really ruined a night, too. You just really stunk the bed up there. But I just remember walking back to the parking lot just trying to just be angry about it. And it's like, and I want my Super Nintendo back because you had it for some reason. I didn't give a crap about that Super Nintendo, dang it. But yeah, then basically from there, 21 years later. And yeah, here we are.
That's so funny. And earlier in our like Lost episode. We talked a lot about like non-PlayStation games, and I after like we stopped recording, I kind of thought about that, and I was like, wait, you always talk about like how you know, the PlayStation still is like kind of like a, I guess like a core memory or whatever, like within our family, because doesn't Isa share like a birthday yes. or something like that? Like,
yeah, her birthday is the birthday of the PlayStation. That's like the Japanese launch was December 3rd of 94.
Yeah.
And hers is December 3rd, but just and
you,
different year.
I remember being in the hospital and you were like telling me this and you thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
But then also, was it Rick Remender who was having the signing?
No, Ed Brubaker was, we were having a sign at the shop the next day on the 4th, or maybe it was the 5th or whatever, but it was just close enough that we were still in the hospital with Isa being born. And it was like, so this is my favorite comic book writer. I just cruise by the shop and take a little break or something like that, right? I did not leave my wife after the birth of our child to get
our comics first signed. Child.
But yeah, still got comics signed. So Alex brought some of my books up to the shop for me to get them signed.
Yeah.
But yeah, the PlayStation birthday thing was a cool, happy accident. But yeah, the last episode, we talked a lot about the Game Boy Advance and GameCube and Game Boy Player and exchanging a lot of Harvest Moon playtime and Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga playtime, and obviously into the Final Fantasy Advanced re-releases. Like, I played 5 a ton while you were playing. You had 4 already at the mm-hmm. time. But yeah, even my first tattoo was, you know, was Mario and Luigi from Superstar Saga, not yeah. necessarily a PlayStation related tattoo. But I still am a PlayStation kid. That was just, yeah, interesting how in that moment, I talked about it actually. I do realize that it was with, a couple episodes back with, Aiden Meyer, he was sharing about, like the portability of it is what kind of kept him into it. So like the Game Boy Advance being like his favorite console.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. I think in that era we were like, because as friends and then starting to date and then starting to like, you know, we weren't at home or in, you know, at my home to play my PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I was out and about and traveling with you a lot. So we mm-hmm. had like the Game Boy Advance SP was there.
Yeah,
and
that
so
makes sense.
We weren't tethered to a TV necessarily. Yeah. And yeah, so that was the games I was sinking hours into. But when I got back home where I was staying, I had that Game Boy Player, and that would let me basically kind of continue those games and still be invested in those games even at home. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we would still play other games too. Oh, you mentioned it in the other episode, and I'll only get a name drop here, but Turok Evolution, playing the multiplayer mode with my cousin Justin and just random passerbys who came in and out of that house.
Yeah, I feel like that was like the first time I ever played like a multiplayer game of that like genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I played, you know, Mario Brothers, like past the controller, but never really played like a game like that with someone else.
Yeah,
like, all together.
That was a good, you know, I don't remember how long I lived over there with him, maybe a year-ish. Time at my cousin's house, but we spent a lot of time playing a ton of Soul Calibur 2, NBA Street Volume 2, with various Tony Hawks, you know, as they came in. But then, yeah, they had Turok Evolution, and then our random Legend of Zelda collection, collector's edition or anniversary edition, whatever it was, the one that had Zelda 1 and 2. I remember having that in like the guide and almost beating Zelda 2 for the first time. But yeah
and we talked about like how, you know, we had like played a lot of like the Game Boy
mm-hmm.
Advance SP. I feel like there was some times where we would just ride the bus and play, and just me and you, we would just be riding the bus somewhere, and then, you know, we'd just be playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, we took the bus a lot of places. I mean, whether you're going to Fullerton or that, yeah, we did that a lot. Well, I mean, you got a car not that long later.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but I guess like because where you lived and Jenny's house was like way across the other side of town.
Oh yeah.
Or the city.
From where I was at.
That was like 45-minute bus ride.
Yeah. But then eventually when I moved in with my down there at the other end of Anaheim with my dad, and then moving from there to my cousin's house.
Yeah.
Like that's when you had gotten your car, and that's when we going to having a job and being able to spend a paycheck and buy video games, like, you know, I was buying more of, you know, more stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right.
I felt like there was one other thing that I thought of when we had finished our conversation, and I'm so annoyed that I can't remember.
Well, it's okay. Save it for a future episode. I'll have I thought of it this morning, but I'm going to do a bonus episode called towards the end of the year, called The Papas.
The what?
The Papas. It's going to be an annual treat.
What is that?
The Papas is going to be the Pixels and Polygons Awards.
Oh, how cute.
So The Papas will be an annual event where I will, you know, not just do like just a traditional game of the year thing, but just come up with really dumb or silly categories and as to way to like reflect on the year and some of my favorite games that I played. So one of the nominees this year for a category I've thought of already is the best roguelike poker game from the year. So
I feel like there's only been one game of that. You know,
find out and tune into
all know what it is already.
Tune into the Papas to find out who's going to take home best roguelike poker game of 2024. But thank you for re-recording an episode. I really thought it was going to be a shorter one too, because I was so disappointed that we lost all that audio, but this still ran on pretty long.
Well, yeah, I was like, how are we supposed to have like this genuine conversation again? And you were like, we're not. We're going to be having a shorter conversation. We'll think of something. But,
I guess that's why we work well together. Because we can just talk to each other. And, yeah. So, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks for listening, y'all. Catch you next week with a recorded episode without technical errors and no need to re-record and do anything bizarre. But bye. See you next week.